Continuing in our series here about great Torah personalities, today we're going to talk about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now, the truth is, his name is a little bit of a question. Was his last name Rabbi Akiva Eiger, or was his last name Ginz? That's really not clear. The answer is, his mother had one last name, his father had a different last name. His mother's last name was Eiger, his father's last name was Ginz, and he went down in history by his mother's name, which was Eiger. So, the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger was an incredible personality who was born in Hungary in 1761, passed away in 1837. For those who remember, and for those who were here the previous weeks, we were talking about the Vilna Gaon and his influence. So just to put it in context, the Vilna Gaon passed away in 1797. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger in 1797 was a little bit over 30 years old. So he had a little bit of a connection with the Vilna Gaon. There is a correspondence that went back and forth between the sons of the Vilna Gaon and Rabbi Akiva Eiger about how much Rabbi Akiva Eiger appreciated the Svarim that came out from their father and how much he had learned from them. So there was some sort of connection there. Although he wasn't directly influenced, he did have an indirect connection with the family. It's interesting that later on in his life, Rabbi Akiva Eiger becomes the Rav in Germany, in Posen, which was a very prominent community. And at the time when he was a youngster, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger bumps into the son-in-law of the Notabi Yehuda, whose name was Rabbi Yosef HaTzadik. He happened to be the Rav in Posen at the time. And he had a correspondence with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, on one occasion, sent him a letter and didn't get a response. And then he sent him another letter about something else and also didn't get a response. At one point, he bumps into Rabbi Yosef HaTzadik and he asks him, you know, I beg your pardon, but I'm sending you correspondences, I'm sending you letters, I'm wondering why it is that you're not responding to me. So Rabbi Yosef writes back to him, he says, Kashertia ata harav b'pozna, when you become the Rav in Posen, tavin kama kasher lahashiv b'michtav, Limichtavim. You'll understand how difficult it is as a rabbi to respond to people's letters that they send you. Right? People get angry at me why I don't respond to emails. I say to them, you come be the rabbi of the young Israel with me. You'll understand why I'm not responding. Machmas hatirdos be'ir rabbasizu. Because there's so much going on in the city, I can't respond to every letter. What can I tell you? So, Rabbi Akiva Eiger later on in his life said that Rabbi Yosef HaTzadik had said, when you become the rabbi in Posen, you'll understand. He said, later on in life, I got that sentence. Unfortunately, I ended up in that position, and now I understand why it is that so many people send me letters, and I'm not able to respond to all of them the way I should, because unfortunately, I am overloaded with work from the community. There's an amusing story that is told. It's a very fascinating story, and unusual, that there was a very wealthy individual in that generation who passed away, and when his tzava, when his will was looked at very carefully, so it's said in there that he wants all of his money, all of his property, all of his assets to be given over to the Gadol Hadar of that generation. Now you go figure out who is supposed to be considered the Gadol Hadar of that generation. Imagine someone today would write in the will, they want all of their money to go to the Gadol Hadar. Who would he choose? There are a lot of people to choose from. It's very hard to really make a determination. So a determination had to be made, and they decided to set up a Beis Din that was going to determine who actually is the Gadol Hadar. And it was between two candidates, either Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who we spoke about 2 weeks ago, the preeminent Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, or Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So this was a very uncomfortable position to be in, that they had to judge whether Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the greatest or was Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So After much research, they decided, they came to the conclusion that Rabbi Akiva Eiger was the undisputed Gadol Hadar. It wasn't Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger was the Gadol Hadar, so they send them a letter, by the way, this is what happened, and therefore you are now given all of this tremendous assets, all of this money, all of this property, because you are the crowned Gadol Hadar, and therefore you're the one who gets the schus to have the all of the man's property. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger was extremely uncomfortable. He was friendly with Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. He was a contemporary of his. How could he walk away from such a thing and say, I am entitled to all of this because I am the Gadol Hadar? It's a strange feeling to have. So he took all of that money because he said, look, that's what the Beis Din gave a psak, so what can I do? I can't revoke the psak that they give. However, he said, I'm not going to use any of that money for myself. And it is documented that Rabbi Akiva Eiger took all of the money and all of those assets and everything that was given over to him, and he gave it over to the community to build a hospital. There was a hospital that was built with all that money. It gives you an understanding of how much money it was. And that hospital was built on the close direction of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He was very involved in the details of how exactly it should be made. And in fact, later on, because the hospital went down in the name of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Reform and the Maskilim, who were fighting against Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Germany at the time, were always trying to start up not only with him, but with the hospital, because they knew that hospital came from the money of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now, you understand a little bit the greatness of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that somebody would win a lottery like that, they would take the money and run. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, look, I feel uncomfortable that I won the Din Torah. I feel uncomfortable that I was the one who was crowned as the Gadol Ador. And therefore, he said, I'm going to give up the money for other purposes. He refused to take it for himself. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was known to be a master teacher. And one of his Talmidim, one of his students, wrote a little bit of a description of what it was like to learn under the direction of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And this is a beautiful description. It gives you just an insight into what an amazing personality he was. So this is subsequently printed, not in German, that's the original that it was written in, but it was translated into Hebrew, where one of his students writes the following. Limroz charifusa hama'oreres hishtomu mushal Rabbeinu HaGadol. Yes, albeit we know that there is an incredibly overwhelming brilliance that emanated the personality of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, although that was true, v'limnos b'kiyusa harabe b'chol miktzos ha-talmud, and although he had encyclopedic knowledge in all areas of learning, b'chol zos, that all being said, nira hayulanu ha-talmidim b'chol pam kishahirtze shiurav, when we used to listen to the shir, when we would study under Rabbi Akiva Eiger, although we knew that he was a genius, that he was brilliant, that he had so many insights, that he had so much encyclopedic knowledge, still when we sat there, it was ki'ilu oseku b'inin hazeh b'pam harishonu b'chayav. He made us feel like this was the first time he was ever studying this area of halacha, or this area of gemara. Whatever he was teaching, it was as if it was the first time he ever worked on it. He made us feel as if we were a part of the process of figuring it out, like he didn't know it, like he didn't understand it, and he needed us, his students, to give him insight into really understanding what it is that he was trying to work out. Bekitzer, he says about his Rebbe, Maimer Chazal tell us in Maseches Brachas, B'chol Yom Yiyu Beinecha Kechadashim. A person every day should approach the Torah as if this is the first time you're ever having the opportunity. Imagine the first time a child goes and learns the Aleph Beis, they're so excited, but then in second grade, third grade, it's not so exciting anymore. Then they start with Chumash, it's very exciting first time, but then when they get to fifth grade, Chumash is not so exciting. Then they start with Mishnayos, other things, Navi, whatever they're going to pick up on, things get more exciting because the old gets boring. But here the Gemara says our perspective whenever we study the Torah should be b'chol yom yu beinecha kechadashim. Every day we should have a perspective as if this is the first time we are approaching the Torah. This is the first opportunity we have to appreciate what Torah is all about. And he says when we used to study with our Rebbe, that is what it was, pshuto kemashmo. That is the perspective that he had. That is the feeling that he gave over to us. Ha'hespailus min ha'chadash. This unbelievable excitement that he had from the new material that he was studying, which to him was not new at all, hishpia aleinu hashpa atzuma, made such a impression on all of us young students. Veheminu kishutvim anachnu, and we actually believe that we are partners with him. Bepulas hashikol v'hamachshava sharabenu. He invited us in and he made us feel as if we were going to be a part of understanding this, which he was trying to develop. Kasher nizbahar lanu hanosei, and when we finally worked it out together with our teacher, here gashnu osa hasimcha, we felt that incredible joy. She'alea amar hachachami kaladam, this that Shlomo HaMelech taught us, Ma'or Einayim Yismach Lev, and he said, we had this opportunity to feel Hadvarim Smechem Kinesinasam Misinai. We had the feeling when we were sitting at the foot of our great teacher, of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as if we were accepting it from God Himself at Har Sinai. That's how exciting it was to sit there with Him and work it out, even though He had it all worked out, and He was such a genius, and He was so brilliant, and He was teaching for so many years, but that's the way He made His students feel, and that's why He was such an effective teacher. There were many greats of the generation who lived and who spoke so much about the greatness of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And I always feel the greatest way that you can evaluate the measure of a person is to listen to what their contemporaries say about them. It's very hard for somebody living at the same time to say and to praise and to give accolades about somebody who is almost their competition. You see today, rabbis are always putting each other down. You see politicians are always putting each other down because you can talk about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln because it's not a threat to you. It is a threat to you to talk about somebody who is your contemporary. And you look in the writings of the contemporaries of his generation and you see the admiration that they had for him. It shows what a towering figure he was. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who we just said, lost the Din Torah. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who should have had a lot to say about this person who stole all that money from him, so to speak, and outdid him in the Din Torah as not being the Gadol Ador, Reb Chaim Volozhiner himself said about Rabbi Akiva Eiger the following. He said, you look at the responsa of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and there is so much responsa that we have, so many writings, so many svarim, that are really eternal in their very nature. It's something that we refer to all the time today in the shilas that we deal with. So contemporary, so important. So Rabbi Chaim Velazhner said about the responsa of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He said, "Af ani yachol hashiv tshuva k'Rabbi Akiva Eiger." I also am a great Talmud Chacham. I also have the ability to come up with responsa like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he didn't mean it in a disparaging way. However, he said, "Aval lichtov kamohu berosh hatshuva," to be able to have the ability to write like Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes in the beginning of a responsa. "Tmol higiyani michtava." Rabbi Akiva Eiger sometimes responds to people and he says, "Yesterday I received your letter and here's the answer." He says, "Ze eini yachol asos." This I absolutely cannot do. I would have to work it through and figure it out. I would spend weeks on this. Rabbi Akiva Eiger somehow had the ability. Somebody sent him a shaila of the most complex nature and he was able to write to him the next day an overwhelming response that was very thought out, that was all worked out. And that's what Rav Chaim Velazhner, that's where I see the greatness of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's not in the fact that he had encyclopedic knowledge. I know he had encyclopedic knowledge, but I also do. He said the greatness of Rabbi Akiva Eiger was that he can formulate such concise answers and give it back to people immediately on receiving their requests. The Netziv was a personality also from the family of Rav Chaim Velazhner. The Netziv passed away in 1893, so he was a little bit later, but the Netziv's son, Reb Chaim Berlin, he's a pretty famous personality, or Bar Ilan University, right? So Reb Chaim Berlin, Bar Ilan is Berlin, so Reb Chaim Berlin writes that his father gave him a perspective of how we should look at the greatness of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So he writes the following. This is printed in one of the Svarim of the Netziv in the introduction. They quote this from the son of the Netziv. "V'anochi hinani meid be'edus ne'amana." He says, "I can tell you with certainty, Shehagon Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that the great tzaddik Rabbi Akiva Eiger, marum v'kadosh haya be'enei mar avi hagon ad lama'od." My father, the Netziv, spoke about Rabbi Akiva Eiger as if he was living in a different era. "Uv'chal eisha hiskiru," and every time that my father, the Netziv, used to mention the name of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, "haya mirta kula gufe," his entire body would tremble just from mentioning Rabbi Akiva Eiger's name. "Migodo kedushas tarasa v'tzidkusa," because it was amazing whenever my father thought about the greatness, the kedusha, the piety, the sincerity of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. "V'sefer tshuvosa v'lo pasak ma'al shulchano," I can tell you, he says, the responsa of Rabbi Akiva Eiger was always on my father's table. That was something that he always kept. "Umirag l'haya b'pume," and my father used to tell us, "shakala ma'ayim b'sefer tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger be'en choderes." Listen carefully. The Netziv said that anybody who looks carefully and who learns carefully through the works of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, "Lo rak gedulos v'niflos yimtza shama me'omek iyuno v'charitzas sichlo habahir," not only will you be overwhelmed by the brilliance of Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the clarity of thought that exudes all of his writings, "ki imgam yiras Hashem tahora," you will also be able to see the yiras shamayim in every line that is written there. "Ve'anava yisera yimatze b'chal shira v'shura," and you will see his humility in every line that is written there. We're not talking about a Musar Sefer, we're talking about his responsa that he wrote to the questions of his time. And there, said the Netziv, is where you were able to see with clarity not only his Mahalech HaMachshava, not only the way that he thought, not only his brilliance in the encyclopedic knowledge that he had, but also in his Midos, in his Anava, in the way that he expressed himself to others. "Ve'ein lecha Sefer Musar gadol mimenu," said the Netziv, "there is no greater Musar Sefer than the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger." We're not talking about a Musar Sefer, we're talking about a responsa. And yet the Netziv said that was the greatest way for a person to have the ability to see the Midos that exuded the personality of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. "Ko hayu dvarav tamid," that is what my father always told us, and he said that one word in the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger was able to clarify so many uncertain sugyas that he couldn't understand on his own. He just looked in the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger and he was able to have that. So, as we said, the greats of so many generations spoke about Rabbi Akiva Eiger with such accolades that they didn't give to so many others. And that's what we said. Reb Chaim Velazhner, who lived at the same time, also shared the same feeling about him. It is written also in the introduction to the Sefer Bircha Shmuel, which was the Sefer of Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz, who was killed in the Holocaust. So Reb Baruch Ber's son-in-law wrote about him that he remembers that one time his father-in-law, Reb Baruch Ber, was saying over something in the name of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And one of the children of the family listened to what his father was saying, And immediately he responded. He gave a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, how can you say such a thing? He didn't like what it was. He was questioning it. Garbo mori chami v'lo ratza lishma devarav. My father-in-law was offended. How can you respond? How can you react like that when I'm telling you something in the name of Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Achelo shaha me'at misimcha b'shamo svara amuka mechudeshes kazu. How can you not first take the opportunity to feel the simcha, to feel the joy of what Rabbi Akiva Eiger said? Take it in. Appreciate it. Afterward, we can discuss whether it's right or it's wrong in the merits. But how do you not first take the opportunity to appreciate that which Rabbi Akiva Eiger said? And he said then, ki mi she'eino rokid misimcha b'shama svara kazu. Somebody who doesn't feel that they should dance from enjoyment, from excitement, from hearing what Rabbi Akiva Eiger had to say and what he contributed, eino adam, you're not a human being. You don't understand what it means to be a human being. That was the perspective of so many when they thought about the life of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, when they approached the writings of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as we said, was a tremendous person. And his contributions to halacha and to so many other areas of study that we all study today are really timeless, they are really eternal. Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a wife who he felt very close with, and he wrote such beautiful words about her. When she passed away, there were many who tried to get Rabbi Akiva Eiger to remarry, and he wrote to them, how can I remarry so quickly when my wife is the one who encouraged me to become the person who I am, when my wife is the one who is out there for me? And he says, I would rather just stay the way I am. He said, I just have to get over this. I can't just move on with life so quickly. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there were so many things that changed after his wife passed away. It's almost like he felt deeply depressed. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes a letter to his contemporaries. He says, you know, I'm the rabbi in a certain community and I'm ready to give it all up. He writes, Limtza manoach lifrok ol harabanes. I would rather just give up this very overwhelming job that I have. Eleishev ke'echad ha'hamonim. I'd just rather sit like everybody else. I'm not interested. Milvad Emes Haharo, he says, besides for the fact that I'm petrified over the shilas that I'm being sent, and I always feel the pressure of having to answer them, Bechol Eis Ki'ilu Gehenim Pesuach Tachti, I feel as if Gehenim is opened up underneath my feet, and that's how nervous I am every time a question is sent my way. Gam Kasha Be'enai Inyan HaParnasa, he says, you know what, right now I'd just rather take a break from all this. And Ladati, he says, in my opinion, Bocher Anochi Yoser, I would choose, if I had the opportunity to choose, I would choose Leo Shamish Bebeis HaKnesses. I would rather just be the Gabbai. Or, he says, Leo Shomer HaLaila, I would rather just be the guard at the door. I can't handle this. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger tells us he was so broken after his family was shattered by the untimely passing of his wife. Later on, he remarried once again to a niece of his. But he had so many troubles, he had so many tragedies that struck him throughout his life. And very shortly thereafter, his mother passed away in 1811, and then 1 year later, his daughter passed away. His son-in-law passed away at a very young age as well. So here's a fascinating piece of history. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's daughter is now left in Almana. She's 22 years old. She has two young children that she has to take care of. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger is very nervous for what's going to be. So he decides to send a letter to the Rav in Preshburg, who was the Chasam Sofer, Rav Moshe Sofer. He's going to ask him, maybe you know of somebody in your community who's worthy of marrying my daughter. After all, her husband just passed away. He left two young children. She's an almana, there yisomim. I need somebody to marry her. But I can't just take anybody. I need somebody who's worthy of really marrying such a person. So the Chasam Sofer, who himself had just lost his wife, gets such a letter, gives it over to somebody else. Somebody else in the community who is aware of what was happening says, maybe it's a good idea for you. Now, just to put it in context, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was only 1 year older than the Chasam Sofer, so it would seem to be something that was a little bit off. But yet, Chasam Sofer is convinced by some family members of Rabbi Akiva Eiger and some community members in Preshburg that this is a good idea, he should go ahead. And that's what happens. Fascinatingly, he later on goes on to marry the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and they become closest of friends. We'll get back to that in a couple of minutes. It's a fascinating story about the back and forth that took place. It shows the humility of both the Chasam Sofer and the Rabbi Akiva Eiger when that shidduch was being discussed. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was, as we said, a brilliant thinker, but even more than that, he was a prolific writer. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, although he had so much to say and he had so much to contribute, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was careful that he did not want his writings to be published. He did not want that they should be published because he did not feel that they were worthy of being published. He said, you know, whatever I write is just People come to me with questions, I respond to them. I don't think this is for public consumption. I don't think it's something that should be eternalized. I don't think it's something that should be passed on to future generations. You know, my father told me as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein goes down in history as the famous Igros Moshe, and Mipiv Anu Chayim. We live on so many of the psukim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. They're so relevant to us today. However, Rav Moshe, when you asked him about what his life's work really was, he would tell you it was not the Igros Moshe. He said about himself that he felt his life's work was the Dibros Moshe, and it's something that most people actually don't even know about. Rav Moshe said about his Igros Moshe, this is just between Mincha Marav, this is what I do. Quickly, people come and ask me questions, I respond to them. I was recently meeting with Rabbi Bluth from Flatbush, who spent a lot of time with Rav Moshe, and he said the same thing. Rav Moshe didn't see that his Igros Moshe was what his life was really all about. So Rabbi Kivager said the same thing. I feel this is just the way I respond to people, but it's not really what I want to go down in history. Until Rabbi Kivager had some sort of heavenly revelation that gave him the opportunity to feel confident in writing, in publishing all of his thoughts. So Rabbi Kivager writes actually in one of his letters, Pela Heruli B'Yom Shabbos Kodesh Avar. Last Shabbos, there was some very unusual thing that came to me. B'Shabbasi Yechidi B'Hakitz, when I was awake on Shabbos by myself, and nobody else was there aware of what was happening. And I had some sort of revelation, Min HaShamayim, V'lo Egale B'Chayai B'Li Neder Me'Hadavar. I will not disclose what took place, but it seems that there was some revelation, Min HaShamayim, that gave him the confidence to go ahead and publish his writings. And he says, from now on, I don't have any regrets about publishing my writings because God sent me some sort of simon, some sort of sign that this is what I should be doing. And from then, from that time on, he allowed his children and he allowed the publishers to go ahead and publicize all of his thoughts, all of his writings. His writings are something that are considered to be of the highest caliber. In fact, the Dayan in Brisk, Simcha Zelig Rieger, goes down as telling his Talmidim, as telling the members of his community, that when you want to try to develop the mind of a young person, to make them think clearly, he told them that the first place you should start is by reading the Tshuva Rebbe Kivager. Now, it doesn't mean at 5 years old that's what you should do, but when a person's mind is developing, Rebbe Simcha Zelig is quoted as saying that the first place you should start is to give them the clarity hamachshava, the clarity of thought of Rebbe Kivager, because everything that he wrote is just clear. Everything that he wrote is something that's so understandable. And it gives a person the clarity of thought in other areas of life as well. There's a fascinating insight, a comment that was made by the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim was wondering, and this is recorded by one of his Talmidim. He says, Zman Rav min akeres b'mochi she'ela. He says, the Chafetz Chaim writes that, for the longest time I've been wondering about something. And that is about Rabbi Kivager. How could it be Shahaisa Hahatzlacha Yotzis Minaklal Bachok Sabav? How is it possible that Rabbi Kivager had the ability in all of his writings to write with such clarity, and that everything he wrote was accepted? What did he have that others did not have? He says, if you look in the responsa that Rabbi Kivager wrote, they're incredible. You look at so many other writings that he gave over to future generations, the Chafetz Chaim said, I sit in awe, and I wonder, what was it about Rabbi Kivager that others did not have? And he writes, She'acharei ha-machshava ma'amika be'inyan, when I thought long and hard about this issue, I came to the following conclusion. He writes, Mepnei she'bedorosha Rabbi Kivager harima ha-haskala rosh. The Reform movement was very strong, was fighting very fiercely at the times of Rabbi Kivager. V'harbe yehudim k'sherim she'hayu lomdei ha-Torah u'mekimei ha-mitzvos. And there were many people who used to be observant, but later on parku all, they gave it all up. It was very dangerous at that time. Said the Chafetz Chaim, since in every generation there's a certain amount of divine assistance that comes down into the world, and so many at that time were not interested in taking it. Therefore, he says, Amar Rabbi Kivager v'zacha b'chal ha-siyata d'shmaya. Rabbi Kivager had the ability to take it all. God gives a certain amount of divine assistance to every generation. If there's no one to take it, it's going to be there anyway. So Rabbi Kivager got it all for himself. And God was on his side. And said the Chafetz Chaim, he came to the conclusion, this is why Rabbi Kivager had the ability to write with such clarity, and that his writing should be accepted, and should be eternal, and should be timeless. Because he was able to take, in a generation when nobody else was interested, in that which he was doing. Rabbi Kivager writes in the introduction to his responsa, that he was very particular about the way he wanted it to be written. Avakshecha b'ni yedidi, he writes to his children, Lifkoach ayin alzeh, I want you to look carefully over the way it is published. Sheyia nidfas al nayir yafeh, he says, I want it to be printed on nice paper. Diyoshachar, I want it to be in black ink. Ve'osias ne'usas, I want it to be printed with very nice letters. Kiladati, because he says, in my opinion, hanefesh mispa'eles v'hadas misraveches v'hakavana misareres, a person is able to concentrate and think clearly when they're learning from a sefer which is na umehudar. Now it's fascinating that Rabbi Akiva Eiger paid attention to the details. But that shows you the clarity of everything he did in life. Everything he did was with clarity, and he wanted it to be clear for others. And therefore he was so particular in the way he wanted his children to give over his Torah to others as well. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes in the beginning as well that he was very opposed to all of the accolades that sometimes you find showered upon personalities when a sefer is written. You know, sometimes you read Haskamas and you see that people write all kinds of titles and all kinds of superlatives that really are not befitting to the person whose sefer is being published. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger said that he also had an insistence that whenever you're going to publish my writings, please leave out all of the titles that people wrote to me and the letters that they sent me. I'm not interested in those being known to others. And secondly, he said, I didn't write titles for other people because, he says, either they didn't deserve it, and therefore I shouldn't write it because it's simply not true, or because if you do write it, then it's going to make other people feel bad. So he said, just forget about the whole thing. Leave all of those out. When you publish my writings, I'm not interested in any of the titles. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, one of the main character traits that was so obvious in the life of Rabbi Akiva Eiger was his incredible humility. And I'd just like to share a couple of stories that show the humility of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because I think humility is always something that we need to remind ourselves of. So the Chasam Sofer, who later on became the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, said about his father-in-law, Eini tanu ladas, we have no way of measuring ad heichan hayegia higia an besanuso shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. We have no way of evaluating the levels of humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who could ever tell you what the level of humility of Moshe Rabbeinu was? How can you gauge what that is? Shehatar mishabecha soso b'midazu. The Torah itself tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ha'ish Moshe ana mikal adam asher al pnei ha'adama. God himself tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was the most humble individual throughout history. So we have no way of really understanding what that means. Becholzos. And yet that was the case, said the Chasam Sofer, im nistakel v'nisbonin b'Rabbeinu. If we just watch the way of life of the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger, nucha l'tzayir l'chal ha'pachos ma nikra anava b'mida gedusha, we can at least have some sort of inkling of what it means to be an anav like Moshe Rabbeinu. Uvazeh lahavin b'midas ma, and with this we can have some sort of understanding as madregas an v'sanuso shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shel. You want to try to understand a little bit of what humility really means, what it means when the Torah says, v'ha'ish Moshe ana mikal adam asher al pnei ha'adama. The answer, says the Chasam Sofer, is look at my father-in-law. You'll begin to have an understanding of what that means. You'll see an incredibly towering figure who's able to live life in such a simple and such a humble way. And this is something that was so obvious throughout the life of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So one time there was a din Torah that came to the desk of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he was asked to adjudicate the case. So one side came to him, they put forth a claim, and they asked Rabbi Akiva Eiger to please send a letter, what we call a hazmana, that the other side should come and present their side. So it happened to be, it was a very simple chayat. It was a very simple tailor. Thank you. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger sends him a letter, and he writes to him that he'd like him to please come before him in the Beis Din because somebody registered a complaint against him and they want to discuss it. So he sends him a letter and he writes him the following. In the beginning of the letter, he writes to him, L'chvod harav hagon hacharev v'habaki. I'm writing this letter to harav hagon, to the great genius, Charif v'habaki, to the one who is sharp, to the one who is encyclopedic, Sinai v'oker harim, Tzina d'mali safri. He writes a whole introduction in the beginning of his letter when he's just writing a letter to a very simple tailor who is being asked to come before him for a din Torah. Anyway, the letter comes to this tailor. Tailor doesn't really know how to understand Hebrew very well. He wasn't literate. So he gives the letter to a neighbor of his and he says, you know, I got this letter. It has a stamp on it from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I don't know exactly what it says. Can you read it to me? Gives it to his neighbor. Neighbor starts to read it, and he's laughing uncontrollably. He says, Rabbi Akiva Eiger's making fun of you. Look at this letter he wrote to you. He doesn't know who he's writing to. It's a joke. So he says, why? What is it saying there? He says, you should look at the way he introduces you in the beginning of that letter. He writes all of these titles that are so irrelevant. He writes all of these things that just don't fit your personality. So this man was incensed. He brings the letter to Rabbi Akiva Eger's house. He says, what are you doing to me? Making such a joke out of me in front of all of my friends. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, what's the problem? He shows him the letter. He says, I don't even know how to read Hebrew, but look what you wrote to me. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his innocence, pulls out a letter from his drawer. He says, I have hundreds of letters that are written to me like that. I thought that's the way you write letters to people. Why wouldn't I write that way to you? That's the way people write to me. And the Chasam Sofer said, that was in the innocence of Rabbi Akiva Eger. He didn't even realize that people are addressing him in a certain way because he was the Gadol HaDor. And that's not the way we address everyone else. The Shagas Aryeh gave a bracha, gave a blessing to Rabbi Akiva Eger when he was a young child. And he said that he hopes someday he'll become one of the Gedolei HaTorah. And Rabbi Akiva Eger said at 70 years old, I don't understand. At a young age, I was blessed by the Shagas Aryeh. And now I'm 70 years old and I still haven't seen the blessing come true. And I'm wondering, what happened to the blessing of the Shagas Aryeh? Once again, in his humility, he wasn't able to see his own greatness. He wasn't able to understand that he was such a towering figure. In the Sefer Chut HaMeshulash, the story is told that Rabbi Akiva Eger once went to visit his mother. And on his way to visit her, he passed through the city of Nicholsburg. In the city of Nicholsburg, there was a very famous Talmud Chacham by the name of Rabbi Mordechai Benet. He was one of the greats as well of that generation. And he comes to have a discussion with Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger stops over in the house. They start talking to one another. And Rabbi Mordechai Benet was not impressed with Rabbi Akiva Eger at all. He couldn't understand, why is everybody talking so much about Rabbi Akiva Eger? I just had a conversation with him. I'm not impressed. But he knows that everybody has heard of Rabbi Akiva Eger, so he invites him to come and speak in the shul that Shabbos. So he comes to the shul. He gives a whole shiur. And in the middle of the shiur, Rabbi Mordechai Benet asks him a question. And it would seem to be a very serious question. So Rabbi Akiva Eger thinks about it for a minute. He says, you know, you're absolutely right. Marat da'asra, you have an amazing question. My shiur is over. I have nothing to say. You're absolutely right. I have nothing more that I can respond. They go home. They have the meal together. And Rabbi Akiva Eger begins to get into the answer with Rabbi Mordechai Benet over lunch. They start talking with one another. Rabbi Mordechai Benet realizes that Rabbi Akiva Eger has a very good answer to his question that he asked in the middle of the shiur. So he says to him, why didn't you respond to me if this was the answer you were aware of all along? So Rabbi Akiva Eger turns to me and says, look, I'm just a visitor here. You're the rabbi. I need that people should respect the rabbi in this community. They don't need to respect me. I'm going to be out tomorrow. What do I care? So Rabbi Mordechai Benet said, now I see the greatness of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Not the greatness in his learning, which obviously goes without saying. I see the greatness of the midos of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And he called the entire community back together. He said, I'd like everyone to know what just happened. He called them all back together. He says, I'd like you to know what a person we have in our midst this Shabbos. You see, he spoke this morning, and he made pretend as if he didn't know how to respond to me. He didn't know how to react. I'll tell you what just happened in my home, and you'll understand what a great man this Rabbi Akiva Eger really is. There's an unbelievable story in the Tshuvas, in the Chut HaMeshulash as well. And the story goes that when the Shidduch was suggested that the Chasam Sofer marry the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger, who, as we said before, became an almana at 22 years old with two young children, so the Chasam Sofer, surprisingly, sends a letter to Rabbi Akiva Eger saying, you know, I have a major decision in life that I have to make. Can you help me out? What do you think? Should I marry your daughter or not? The same way he would send any other question to him, he sends this question to him as well. So he says, I'd like to know a little bit more information about your daughter. Maybe this is a good idea, maybe it's not. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes back to him the following. This is a serious correspondence that is recorded in the official biography called Chut HaMeshulash. It's an amazing story. So he writes back to him the following. Motze ani lecho velahor es kvod taraso. He says, I want to write back. Look, you sent me a question. You want to know if you should go ahead with the shidduch. I'll tell you my feelings. Ki im amnam biti muhulelas betor isha yiras Hashem. My daughter is certainly worthy of marrying you. My daughter has tremendous yiras shamayim. Kula na v'chasuda b'maseo. She's a wonderful person. She has such great midos. Avol, he says, avol, I have a reservation. Have a reservation. I'm not sure that you should go ahead with the shidduch. Although my daughter is wonderful, and on her own merits, I think it's a great idea. But let me tell you why I'm nervous. Halo kvod taraso bevadai chashka nafsho hataora. I know you, the Chasam Sofer. I know that you want nothing more than lemalos achare divrei chachamenu. I know that you always like to follow the words of Chazal. And after all, the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that you're supposed to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. So my daughter is wonderful. My problem is, I don't know how you can marry her because you're not going to be able to get a Bas Talmud Chacham. I don't think I'm worthy enough for you to be marrying my daughter. You can do better. This is the response Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes to his soon-to-be son-in-law. Ulo madrega zu shel Talmud Chacham, the level of Talmud Chacham that you are deserving of to marry that person's daughter, ani ba'avonosai harabim adayin lo higati. I feel I have not yet reached that level. So I think we need to think a little bit harder about the shidduch. I'm not sure it's a good idea. Chasam Sofer responds to him. Dvara binoge lemalas bito vitzidkuso. This that you told me about your daughter, all of her merits, all the wonderful qualities. Ne'amanim alai kamea edim ksherim v'ne'amanim. I believe you, I trust you, I'm willing to take that. V'imbito hi bas talmud chacham. Now you raised an issue about whether or not you're worthy of the status of Talmud Chacham. After all, the Gemara says you're supposed to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Well, you weren't sure if you're up to that level yet. I'm willing to risk that. I think you're good enough. I'm willing to risk that. I'm not worried. However, he says, I have an issue. What's my issue? Bram, libi nokfi mitzad acher. I have a problem coming from the other direction, and that is, lididi bar hadavar. I know with certainty, kikvot haraso rotze lekayim asher amar b'psachem. I know that you want to follow what Chazal say, and Chazal say, lo lo yimkar adam kol masher yesh lo v'yasi es bito l'talmud chacham. It says you're supposed to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. Now my concern is, I'm willing to risk everything else, but my concern is for you, that you need to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. I don't think I've reached that level yet. On this, I'm nervous. On this, I don't know that I'm holding there. I'm not sure that I'm worthy of that accolade that the Gemara gives of a Talmud Chacham. And therefore he says, I have a reservation to go ahead with the shidduch. In the end, they worked it out. But you see the great humility of both personalities. It's incredible. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger's humility did not just go to his own contemporaries, to the greats of his generation, but you saw the way he dealt with his own Talmidim as well. One of his Talmidim wrote a tshuva sefer, a responsa on his own. And he says that there was an issue that Rabbi Akiva Eiger had with some sort of beer that was made for Pesach, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger didn't like it. He thought it was chametz. And this Talmud of his took issue with Rabbi Akiva Eiger on that very point. So he starts off and he writes, Mi yahara acher Rabbeinu shel kol bnei agola lasos chas v'shalom davar neged pikudasa v'isur. Who would ever speak up against my great teacher Rabbi Akiva Eiger? How could I do such a thing? Halo kulanu hayinu tzayasim la b'chayenu ki'ilu nimsar misinai. We used to listen to him as if the Torah was being given from Harsinai. How could I go ahead and argue with him? Ve'ech nabu chas v'shalom lahara acher devarav. How do I have the right to argue with my great teacher? However, he says, ach, Hallo Yadanu, don't we all know as his students? Shalohaya derech hachasid b'chayav, lios minatzeach v'lamud al devarav. My great teacher Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as great as he was, never stood on principle for what he said. I have an opinion, I have something to say, this is the way I feel. Somebody wants to argue with me? Go right ahead. He never made his students accept his opinion. He welcomed their opinions. Even if a young, small child said something to him that had truth to it, he admitted that he made a mistake. And he had no problem doing that. And this is a very important principle, and in the Sefer Chut HaMeshulash they write as well, was something that carried throughout the thought process of Reb Chaim Volozhiner and so many others of that generation. The Taz writes in his Hakdama, the Taz writes in his introduction to Shulchan Aruch, the very same idea. He says, yes, it's true that you have to show respect to elders. You have to show respect to great Torah personalities. And that's something that we all need to think about. He says, however, when you have something that the consensus is against something that a great Torah giant has said, we don't accept it. We don't leave the Torah as stagnant. Now again, one has to be of the level to be able to refute it. One has to be of the level to be able to have an opinion on the matter. But if you are, and there's truth to what you're saying, don't ever back down just because somebody great said something different. The Noda Behuda writes, in his introduction to his responsa, Halozu tfilasi, I have one request of God, and that is when I go ahead and I publish my responsa. Ba'akdama sifri shelo yia sifri lemokesh. I don't want my sefer, I don't want my responsa to be a stumbling block for others. Vahadvarim she'enu nechochim lo yiskablu. My one prayer is that which maybe I made a mistake and I published and I shouldn't have, or I said the wrong thing or I took the wrong position, I hope and I pray that those issues will not be accepted. I hope that somebody will come later and argue with me and uncover the light. I give a great amount of appreciation to those who are willing to stand up and correct my mistakes. And that's something that also exuded the personality of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He had no problem admitting when he made a mistake. He had no problem saying, you know, I didn't evaluate this carefully enough. I didn't really have an understanding properly. Yes, somebody much younger than me, maybe you're a Talmud of mine, you want to take issue with me. That's the way he trained generations, because that was the humility of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So much a part of his greatness. We don't have time because we have to begin Rabbi Rabinowitz's shiur right now. But I would encourage everyone to look up. It's very easy to find. There's an Igeres HaTshuva that Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote. There's a letter that Rabbi Akiva Eiger penned, and it's a poem. It's a beautiful poem in the Aleph Beis. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's not long, and it's very simple to understand. It's in Hebrew. Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote this, and he asked that people read it, Lefachos me'erev Shabbos Kodesh le'erev Shabbos Kodesh. At least once a week, he said, a person should read this. And when I saw it as I was preparing this, I came across it. I was so inspired. Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger gives, we're almost on Chodesh Elul, and it's time for us to start thinking about the Igeres HaTshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but there he writes something which is so powerful. And he tells us a little bit about the perspective that he had on life. And he says life is all about preparing for ourselves for what's going to be after life. Seida hechina lacha terem yavo ha-shemesh v'yachshich. Make sure that you prepare for yourself before the sun begins to set. B'terem yichba nercha, tachin lecha haderech. Make sure you dig out, make sure you carve out a road for yourself that you're going to be comfortable walking on. G'dor asher paratzta b'chayecha, terem meha'olam yotzi'ucha. Make sure you fix up that which you have made mistakes in life before you are no longer able to do so, because you're no longer a person who has life. Da'es Elokei Avicha, make sure to carve out a space where you will learn what the Ribbono Shel Olam is all about. V'yavo hayamim asher lo chafatzta kol yamecha, because unfortunately we all know there's going to come a time when you're not going to have the ability to do that any longer. And the list goes on, and he writes in such gripping terms. Finally, he ends off, Tein toda l'Hashem Elokecha, give gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything that he gives you, for every moment of life that he so graciously bestows upon us. And after doing so, after expressing your gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the life that he has given you and the life that he has given all of us, then you'll have the ability to go on and feel comfortable in life, because you know that you have shown the proper respect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the proper gratitude that is befitting of all of us giving over to him. I encourage everyone to look that up, because I think it's something that's a powerful message that Rabbi Akiva Eiger gave over to us. There's a lot more to say about him than what I said, but we're going to move on now to Rabbi Rabinowitz's shiur about